Good morning, friends. My name is Donnie Clinton. I get the pleasure of being the assistant pastor here at Sycamore. This morning, we are continuing our study through the Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And their Psalms, these Psalms were specific to the people of Israel as they were going on their yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They're songs they repeated and sang out loud, and they were songs for the whole community to remember the faithfulness of God. But before we look at Psalm 124, I'd like to tell you a story about a man named Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was, by all accounts, an extremely wealthy man. He was a prominent lawyer in Chicago and made a lot of his wealth off buying and selling real estate in the late 1800s. He was a evangelist and a contemporary with a gentleman named D.L. Moody. Moody Bible Institute is named after D.L. Moody. In 1870, his son got very sick, and despite having all of the money he had and all of the best doctors he could access, his son died of the scarlet fever. Then in 1871, a huge fire came through Chicago, and it burnt down 10,000 homes and 17,000 buildings, and it killed hundreds and hundreds of people, and Spafford and most of his wealth was lost in that fire. Then in 1873, trying to give his family some respite from all of the anguish that has happened, and at the same time his wife Anne was in very poor health, Horatio sent his wife and four daughters on a trip to Europe. But while they were out at sea, their ship collided with another ship. And Anne was found unconscious on a piece of debris in the ocean, and when she was rescued, she sent a message to her husband that said only two words: saved alone, because all four of her daughters had drowned in this terrible, terrible accident. Horatio, of course, set sail to be reunited with his wife in Europe, and as he past the spot where his daughters drowned, he wrote to him, "It is well with my soul," a hymn about faith in the midst of grief. And this is the opening line: "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And it brings us to a question this morning. What kind of person are you in the face of troubles? What kind of person are you when difficulties come your way, or when there's interpersonal strife in your marriage or your relationships or at work? What's your response to God when pain and suffering happen? See, we're continuing this sermon series, and in Psalm 124, I believe the author gives us two incredible principles that we need to consider in order to navigate a broken and shattered world faithfully. And the big idea we'll be covering this morning is this: troubles will come close, but God will save his people. Troubles will come close, but God will save his people. And it's significant that we see these. And it's more than just application. It's not a to-do list. This is scripture shaping the way we think about the troubles that happen in our life. These are the columns we use to navigate faithfully an otherwise completely devastating world. So we have to understand what the psalmist is saying here. And it's going to be in two principles. The first one is the troubles will come close, and the second one is God will save his people. Before we'll start, we'll read Psalm 124, and then we'll pray. Read with me. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed is the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We pray with me. Lord, we pray that by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, we would see the kind of God that you are, the kind of God who is faithful and dedicated and loves us and takes care of us, even though we navigate a lot of brokenness. Lord, be with your people that they might see Jesus more clearly. We pray this all in his name. Amen. So we're starting with that first principle, and it's troubles will come close. Look at verses 3 through 5 in your Bible and how David lists out some of the troubles that Israel was going to sing about as they were going up to Jerusalem. He said people rose up against Israel, that they would have been swallowed up alive. Flood waters would sweep up against Israel. The raging waters would have gone over Israel. And there's some debate in the biblical scholar pastor community about whether or not these are really like literal historical events. But as I read them, it seems like there's more than one time Israel was outnumbered and people were angry with them. The flood sweeping things away and going over people sounds like the flood story in Noah in Exodus. Or like when the floodwaters went over the Egyptians as Israel escaped from Pharaoh in Egypt. Regardless of if he's using poetic language or if he's referencing real historical events, regardless, David makes sure to emphasize the proximity of the troubles and how close they were to Israel. How close would someone have to be swallowed alive by something else, right? You'd have to be pretty close. How close would you have to be for the waters to come rushing over you? You'd have to be in the waters. Psalm 124 served as a way to remind the people of God on their pilgrimage that the troubles that they are experiencing are very, very real and very, very close. It was knocking at their door. These troubles were close to God's people, and they had to navigate them faithfully. And I think this is significant. It's significant because sometimes, or I've heard it, as Christians, we want to minimize the pain. We want to say it's no big deal, the types of things that we're going through. Oh, this isn't that bad. Oh, it's not that much to worry about. Like, or you think that because you're a Christian, you should be happy-go-lucky all of the time. But Psalm 124 is painting a different picture than that. See, Scripture is honest about the difficulties and troubles that God's people navigate. David is honest about how close all of these troubles came to Israel, how close destruction was time and time and time again. And in Psalm 124, Israel is given freedom to say that the bad things that happened to us are bad. And we can be honest and heartbroken and overwhelmed. And the Lord isn't upset with us for those feelings. Psalm 124 is a worship song, a song that God is glorying in. People singing, the destruction is close. I need your help. God is glorified in that. And they would say, because those troubles were so close to God's people, the only way that they could have ever gotten out of those troubles was because God is on the side of his people. And we need to know that Scripture is honest about bad things, because when bad things happen to us, God's word gives us this category or principle to shape how we respond to and understand difficulties in our life. If we believe that as Christians nothing bad would ever happen to us, you'd be sorely mistaken. You'd be pretty disappointed a lot of the time. If suffering and pain came to our doorstep, we would think that those things shouldn't happen to Christians. And I think there are many possibilities you could fall into, but I think there are two ways we could go about navigating suffering. One, if we were a Christian and we thought bad things shouldn't happen to Christians, then we could conclude, well, then God's not real. God's absolutely not real. Bad things are happening. God is supposed to shield me from every single bad thing, and because something bad has happened to me, therefore God is not real. Or we could say the pain is meaningless. Like nothing painful, nothing difficult I've ever experienced is meaningful. And that would mean that you would think all of the pain of all of the people around you, that their pain is also meaningless. It gives way to this nihilism that hardens your heart. Or we could think that God is real. And when bad things happen, then he must not love me. And that's crushing. That you believe in God and bad things happen, and the only conclusion you have is the God of the universe, who's sovereign over everything, doesn't even care about me. This would make you hate yourself or think you're not worthy of love or worthy of being taken care of, and you would be crushed time and time and time again. And the good news is neither of those are the way the Bible communicates and understands pain. The third way is saying, yes, troubles will come close to God's people, but the Lord is using those troubles for something more incredible than I could ever imagine. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul writes, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." And Paul's writing to Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. And he says that the persecution, the pain, the troubles that God's people are facing, that God is doing something meaningful with that. God is preparing for them an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we must remember God is good and he is using our pain. And that means that your pain, your anguish, your tears, your sadness, that it's not meaningless. And that is important. And it also reminds us that being a Christian isn't just a life insurance policy. We got to stop there for a second, because I think I have had the tendency to believe that Jesus is like my ticket into heaven. And that once I die and go to heaven, then I get all of these benefits. That's not what the Bible is saying. It's saying that God takes care of his people here and now and makes the pain that you experience here and now meaningful and important and significant. And if we think of Jesus as a life insurance policy, then we're going to miss out on all of the other blessings that God has for us in our lives. God takes care of you now and here. And when trouble comes close, we say with the psalmist, it is the God of Israel who is on our side. When the Bible says troubles are coming close to God's people, it's acknowledging that we live in a fallen, broken, sad world. And as weary pilgrims, we are going to navigate troubles. They're going to come up in our marriages. They're going to show up in the hearts of our children. They're going to show up in the people we work with. The trouble is going to show up in our own hearts. And when the troubles come close, we say with the psalmist, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, then I would be reduced to utter ruin." I remember about 2.5 years ago, my father suddenly passed away from a drug overdose. He was a career felon, and so it was surprising and shocking, and it was terrible all at the same time. And I was somewhere in the middle of those two options about suffering. It's like, is God real? Does he even love me? I was navigating that really, really, in a really hard way. And Psalm 124, actually, as I remember, was one of the psalms that told me that even despite the hardship, even despite the trouble, the only way any of the pain, any of the suffering, any of the sorrow makes sense is if God is good. Not God can't be good because I'm suffering. It's the only way I can navigate this faithfully is if there is a good God and he's doing something meaningful with all of the brokenness. That is the only way I see light on the other end of the tunnel. There's no other options. And Scripture tells us it's far more than God just saving us and being on our side. It tells us that Jesus became like us so that he could know the depth of all the pain and suffering we navigate. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15, it's talking about Jesus, and it says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And this Greek word for sympathies is beautiful. It means to suffer alongside somebody. It's like a soldier or sailor beside you in the storm, like the brother in the foxhole. Scripture doesn't deny the reality of pain. It says troubles are real, you're going to be hurt, but that Jesus stepped into that. He left all the luxury of heaven so that he could come and know the sorrows and pain that you and I navigate. And Hebrews later goes on to say he did that so that you can go to God and receive the help you need at any moment, at any day. That's Hebrews 4:16. So Jesus doesn't just know your pain, he feels it alongside you. Jesus isn't your critic. He's your advocate before the Father. God doesn't waste his people's suffering. He uses every wave, every storm for something far greater than we can imagine. And without this hope, we might believe that the death of a loved one or a sudden medical diagnosis or the loss of a child or the breaking of a marriage, that all of those things are utterly meaningless. But that's not what Psalm 124 says. That's not what God teaches us in this psalm. It said that although there is suffering, God brings salvation. That's why the Israelites could say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have been swallowed up. That's why we can say, when our lives are tossed on oceans of despair and troubles, because God is on my side, it is well with my soul. And that brings us to the second principle here in this text, and it's that God will save his people. Now, it's not only that the scripture affirms the reality of trouble, it tells us that God is doing something about the trouble. I mean, look at verses 6 and 8. David writes that the Lord has not given us over as prey. Think of how close you have to be to someone to be bitten by them, how close the troubles are. Verse 7 says that we have escaped from the trouble like a bird from a cage because the Lord of heaven and earth has helped us. Now, I love the English Standard Version translation of the Bible, and I believe verse 7 is a fair translation, but I think that if you and I were to translate it more woodenly, I think we would get a lot more out of it. And so I'm going to show you a very literal translation of Psalm 124:7. Our soul, like a bird, has escaped the snare of the trap layer. The snare is broken, and we ourselves have escaped. Now, the Hebrew word for soul here is nephesh. And you don't get the word soul in your English translation of verse of 124:7. You just get the word we. He's talking about us, like our soul. The significance of this word, it's more than the Greco-Roman idea that your soul is just like Casper, the friendly ghost, like floating inside of you and you want to escape from it. Like, it's not like that idea. When Israel uses the word soul, they're talking about the whole part of every being. Every aspect of who you are, because you have faith in Jesus Christ, has escaped the snare of the trap layer. And at the end, when Hebrew language wants to emphasize something important, they use personal pronouns beside each other. So at the end of verse 7, when it says we ourselves have escaped, it's like saying we have escaped. It's emphasizing it. It's making it bigger and more incredible. Can you believe it? We have escaped. Psalm 124 is a psalm of victory. It's a psalm of someone who was trapped, and we have victory because God has saved us. And we've made it. We're safe. God has taken care of us, and he will take care of us. It looks back on what could have destroyed them, overwhelming enemies and rising floods and deadly traps, and they're saying, we have escaped because God is on our side. And this isn't wishful thinking or vague hope. If you're skeptical of Christianity, you may be thinking that, they're just wishful thinking. But that's not how this language works. Hebrew, as artistic as it is also a very certain language. When it says we have escaped, it's a statement of fact. They recognize that it wasn't by their own strength, but the Lord who was on our side. The image of a bird escaping a snare shows how helpless and trapped you and I were. But God made a way out. And the word escape turns the psalm from one of fear and danger and trouble to one of celebration. And the only way we could possibly celebrate is because we have been freed. It doesn't mean we barely made it. It means it's done. The trap is broken. The rescue has happened. There is a cry of joy from someone who knows what it's like to be caught and what it's like to be set free. But I am not under the assumption that everybody in this room has faith in Jesus, that that is the thing that sets you free. Some of you may still feel the binds and wounds of what a snare is like. You feel trapped by things like shame and anxiety and addiction and bitterness. And maybe even right now you're thinking, what is this preacher talking about? None of this makes any sense. Maybe you're exhausted trying to fix your life on your own, or nothing seems to change. Maybe you're watching others talk about freedom and wondering why you still feel stuck. Psalm 124 doesn't ask us to pretend that the snare isn't real. It is real, but so is the rescue. That is the whole message of this psalm, that we can say by faith in Jesus Christ, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have been swallowed up. We would have been destroyed. We would have been in the cage for the rest of our life. But if it had not been for Christ, we'd be trapped. But now in Christ, you are free. In Jesus, you are utterly free from not the feelings of pain, you will still feel those things, but from pain having the last word about you and who you are. From destruction and sorrow, from having those things need to define you. This psalm is a declaration of freedom and a call to trust in the one who still breaks snares even today. And that's what Jesus came to do and does. The gospel isn't that we break traps ourselves. It's that Jesus entered into the world, stood beside us in the storm, and broke the snare that none of us could escape on our very own. If you feel stuck, it's because you are. But Jesus can set you free. If you want your pain to be meaningful, if you want to believe that there is a bigger, grander, more beautiful design for all of the hard things that you navigate, the only answer in anything that this world can offer you is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the only person through whom your pain is meaningful. He is the only God who ever stepped into the world to feel the pain of his people so that he could save them from it. This is the God who loves you insurmountably, so much so that he would give his life for you, and you can be free by faith in that. So come to him not with your own strength, not with your own power, but with your need, not with your perfection, but with your brokenness, not with your ability, but with your utter inability. The same God who rescued Israel, the same Jesus who calmed the storms and broke chains is still saving today. And one day you too can say with joy, I have escaped. And with courage, you can say, if it had not been the Lord was on our side. And with peace, you can say, it is well with my soul. For the Christian, you have escaped. You have faith in Christ, but that doesn't mean that the brokenness won't affect you, that it won't bear on you, that you will have nights where you have tears that you don't know why you cry. It means that God has saved you, and that while we live and breathe and move on this side of heaven, we know that we are saved and taken care of, even when the troubles come close, even when the waters wash over us. Understanding that God saves his people in Jesus Christ gives us confidence to say from the Holy Spirit that, yes, troubles are coming my way. You may be thinking, I'm surrounded by troubles right now, but I know God has saved me. It relieves you of the stress and inability to figure out navigating this broken world on your own. It gives you the freedom to cry out for help to the God who breaks the snare and frees his people. This is the gospel of Psalm 124, that when the troubles come close to God's people, he is faithful to save them. So what kind of person are you when troubles come your way? By the Holy Spirit, Psalm 124 gives us the ability to say that pain and struggle and sorrow don't get the final word, and in Jesus Christ we are freed and no longer trapped. Do you feel trapped? Do you need freedom? Do you need to know that God is on your side when troubles are closing in? Come to Jesus and be free. Pray with me. Lord, we are grateful that you are a God who lets us out of the cage. We are grateful that you do not leave us in the brokenness, that sin and sorrow don't define us, and we get to say we are defined by the God of Israel, who sent his son that he so loved the world that we could be saved. Lord, I pray for those in this audience who are ambivalent or even apathetic to the message of your gospel, that you would demonstrate to them clearly that a life without Jesus Christ is a life that seems like pain is meaningless. But in you, we see that suffering does something. And we know by the cross that the suffering and pain of your son secured salvation for all who might believe in him. Lord, give faith to those who don't believe and give us more faith for those who do. We pray this all in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.